We thank you for your words, and I do pray you'd help us to understand them. I pray that you'd help us to see what's written here, the evidence we have right in front of us, and that we might understand why you guided John to write down this account. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, at the last verse of 20, okay, we see a reason why God had this selective record written, and it is, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you might have life through his name. Okay, so the word faith isn't found in this gospel, not at all. Belief is a verb, faith is a noun. Okay, but there it is right there. This is why this was written. So you're going to read, if you take this book, if a person takes this book and honestly considers what's written about Jesus Christ, if they're honest, sincere, I suppose, the conclusion is going to be there in verse 31. And that's why he wrote it. So you're going to find some things in this gospel that the fake healers are not going to fake. The clowns, you know, the charismatic clowns on TV, they will not feed 5,000. Won't do it. Can't fake that. Okay, they can't fake someone being dead for 4 days. Can't fake that. So, and there's many other things. And so often when you get in a discussion with people about religion, Bible, if you try to focus it on Jesus Christ, try to keep it focused on him, and observe that the flesh and the spirits will try to get it off of Jesus Christ. Okay, so they're always, when you mention the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to bring up church, religion, bring it back to Jesus Christ, and they're going to mention this, bring it right back to Jesus Christ, because he's the issue. He's always the issue, not religion, not goodness, the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you can point out some unique qualities that Jesus Christ has that nobody has. Okay, and so there are many unique qualities that nobody's even dared to try to do what he did. He predicted his birth before he was born, where he's going to be born, how it's going to happen. He predicted the details of his death. He can trace his lineage right back to Adam. And when men cuss, what name do they use? Okay, and that's unexplainable. You can't explain that. They don't say, no Muslim says Mama, Muhammad blankety blank. No Satanist says, oh, Satan blankety blank. Okay, it's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the name that's not welcome at an AA meeting, at a Freemason club, at the United Nations. He's not welcome there. That name is not welcome there. God is okay, but Jesus Christ is not welcome at those places, except for a cuss word. So when we go through the Gospel of John, that's what we want to do. We want to consider Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God. There in verse 31. Now, 21, is the narrative is pretty clear, pretty simple. A lot of the Bible is pretty simple. Even the complex things, if you just believe the words, it really settles a lot of things. Okay, and granted, a person wants to get the authority of why you believe the words, and that's vital too. Okay, verse 21 of chapter 21, last chapter, 25 verses. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. Okay, that's called Tiberias, Galilee, Gennesaret, or Chinnereth. It's got four different names depending on the time of the culture. It depends who's in an office. So here, obviously, the Roman Caesar, Roman ruler, named it after himself. You know, their ego is pretty good. So, Sea of Tiberias, okay, on the east side of this sea is Syria. Okay, I've been over there. On the north side is where Capernaum and Chorazin okay, are still cursed to this day. Chorazin, been there. It's still cursed to this day. Nobody can build anything there, as Jesus laid it down on them. So he says, and on this wise showed he himself. Okay, so he's going to show himself to the apostles. And in verse 2, there were together Simon Peter and Thomas, okay, called Didymus. He's the one in the previous chapter that questioned his buddies. Nathanael, he's the one you find back in chapter 1. Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, so that's up north. The sons of Zebedee, that'd be James and John. One of those, John, is the author of this gospel, and two other of his disciples. So no name there. Simon Peter's the leader. Okay, he saith unto them, I go a fishing. So they say unto him, we go also with thee. So he's a leader. He didn't say, come go with me. He just said, I'm going fishing. And then the other fellows, then we're going too. Okay, and so he's going fishing. That's his background. That's how he was raised. And so nothing wrong with that. If you don't know what to do, go back to what you know. So he goes back to fishing. And this is not putting one little hook on, you know, a worm on a little hook and then throwing it out there. This is a net type of fishing, getting a bunch on the Sea of Galilee. Okay, and there's a little restaurant there that often tourists go there. And then they eat the fish that is caught out of the Sea of Galilee. And it's in an area where the wind and the weather is, it can change very quickly. So that's where he's at. And they went forth, entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Now, personally, I don't kind of get the idea of fishing all night long. I'd kind of rather be in bed myself. But some people are really hooked on that. You know, pun intended. And they can go all night. Now me, if I'm going to go all night, I'm going to bed when I get up in the morning. I'm just going to do that. Dad used to go spearing with and fishing with a neighbor farmer, and he'd go all night long, and then Dad would go home and go to bed, and that guy would go back to work. I don't know how they did that. But you got to really love it for that. Okay, then verse 4, when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but his disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Okay, so yeah, distance there, about 300 feet away, because it says it's 200 cubits. And then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? Now, I kind of find that funny. Children. I mean, they're grown men, and he calls them children, unless he's given it short for children of Israel. But have you any meat? And they answered him, no. And of course, the voice just really travels on the water. Okay, and often that's what the Lord would do. He'd stand on a boat as people were sitting on the shore, and his voice would bounce off the water. So easily be heard. Okay, and so here they've thrown out their net all night long, and somebody on the shore says, throw it on the other side. So verse 6, he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. The Creator is in charge of his creation. His creation obeys him. So about that time, he just ordered a school of fish, head over there, see that boat over there? Just right, head over there. And they followed orders. They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Okay, you would think that maybe if they'd been a smart, like say, hey, pal, we've been doing it all night long, haven't found anything. Well, try the right side. Yeah, from the left side to the right side. Yeah, sure thing, Bob. You know, but they just did. They obeyed it. And then, wow, 153 fish. Okay, so that's what happened. At that point, they pretty much figured it out. Okay, I'd like to see Benny Hinn do this. You know, any of these guys on TV, Kenny Copeland, you know, flying his million-dollar jets. I'd like to see him do that. Go to a place and, you know, and order the fish to jump in this net, get in this net. There's stuff like that that they can't fake. They're taking advantage of people who don't read much Bible. And it's a shame. So then in verse 7, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. So that's John. It's the Lord. And now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded about his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked. In our mind, we would say, what? No, naked in the Bible, let the Bible define its own terms. Naked is not wearing the apparel that you normally would wear. In this context, there's a fisher's coat, some type of a outer garment that he had. He took that off, and then he put it back on, and then jumps in the water and goes and sees Jesus. So the word naked, you look at the context, in Job 22:6, it mentions taking the clothing away from the naked. What, you mean nude? Nude don't have clothes? Well, that just means it's a lesser amount of clothes. Okay, when David danced around the Ark of the Covenant, it says he uncovered himself. He took his royal garbs off, and then he was just dressed like the commoner. So that's what that's like. Okay, now Isaiah, can you imagine some of the strange commissions these prophets had? In Isaiah 20, he said, Isaiah, I want you to walk around naked and barefoot for 3 years for a testimony. Now again, he's not talking nude, because later on he really accented upon that. He said, because you are going to be a warning to them that they are going to be naked, even their buttocks uncovered. Now that's when they get conquered by Assyria, and they're going to run for their life no matter where they're at. So that's where he gets it real specific. So it'd be like, you know, Isaiah in our day, it's like he's not wearing a suit or whatever. Okay, and so that's verse 7. Verse 8, and the other disciples came in a little ship, and for they were not far from land, but it was about 200 cubits, dragging the net with them. Cubits is their measurements. It's a foot and a half. It's from the elbow to the tip of the finger, approximately 18 inches. So just take 200 cubits, 300 feet, 100 yards. That's how far out they were. 9, as soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. So the Lord's cooking some fish for them. And then Jesus saith unto them, bring the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153. So that brought in some money for them. And for all that were so many, yet was not the net broken. Okay, and then Jesus saith, and come and dine. Come and dine. Well, I'm looking forward to the day when he says, come and dine. Come up hither and dine with us. Okay, so come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. So they pretty much had it figured out. Mannerisms, voice. You say, why didn't they recognize him? Because, you know, different times, the last, you know, they saw him at Calvary like that, and then they saw him again. So you just get to wonder about something. Your brain, I mean, you're dealing with somebody that came up out of the grave. You're dealing with somebody who was dead, and it's kind of, the mind is, it fries it. You know, supernatural things. We're in this natural world, but we're right beside us. There's an invisible veil of the supernatural world right here beside us, invisible. If you and I could see the spirits, you know, I think we would pass out. If you want to feel them a little bit, come back here about midnight. You might feel some stuff around. Okay, but yeah, and sometimes you could recognize people's reactions by watching their eyes. Often on the street, you'll watch their eyes and you can almost see an invisible influence, okay, where their eyes kind of get glassy and they can't hear, spiritually speaking, and they might say, well, I just can't see that, I just can't see that. And it's right in front of them. But yet there's a blindness that these spirits can do. So, 3, then Jesus cometh and take the bread and giveth them and the fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. Okay, now verse 15, as they're sitting around the campfire, verse 15, and if you've been in church long enough, you've heard someone, you know, expound, exegete, you know, this passage about Jesus asking Peter about love. Do you love me? Do you love me? And so we'll see how many of you heard this before. Well, this word love is phileo, and this one is agape. And so the Lord was saying, do you agape me and phileo me? And anybody remember hearing some of that? And a preacher, you know, he expounds how wise he is with he can transliterate Greek words, even though he can't read Greek. Probably couldn't read anyway. And he goes back with phileo and agape, and I'm like, phileo and agape, salape. That's what that is. And Sam Gipp has a wonderful little test in the answer book where he takes the several times where the word love is found, and then in the test, you decide which is it, phileo or agape, and sometimes it looks like it's agape, and sometimes it's phileo. And what that test does, it exposes the idea that, no, agape and phileo is not the issue here. And that's not the issue at all. Someone is trying to get honor by their education or scholarship. Okay, and so that's my approach is for the common man, the Common Man's Reference Bible, and I read English, and I have a hard enough time reading English. You know, the Europeans' joke is who only speaks one language, and they say Americans. Those Europeans are amazing. They speak 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 languages because it's all packed in there. North of Brent and Jen, where they live, is Dutch, and where they're at, it's French, and then if you go east, it's German. And that's just real close traveling. A little further, Spanish, south, and they could, but that Spanish is a little bit different than Costa Rican Spanish. And so, okay, now verse 15. So we can get, sticking with the English, here's what we're going to get. Okay, remember that Simon Peter denied Jesus 3 times publicly. Okay, so he denied him 3 times publicly. And so the Lord is going to sort of kind of require 3 times here. Okay, and so in verse 15, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, so they're sitting around a campfire, and he says, Simon, son of Jonas, okay, so that, his papa, lovest thou me more than these? Do you love me more than these apostles? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Okay, right then at that word love, you know, the scholars will say, well, that's phileo, and he'd switch it to agape. Okay, and then he saith unto him, feed my lambs. Okay, feed my lambs. Okay, now, Simon Peter, you remember Jesus told the apostles in Matthew 10, do not go into the cities of the Samaritans. Do not go in the way of the Gentiles. We are going to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Okay, and so it's the sheep through John doctrinally will be Israel. Okay, now he does refer to believers as sheep in Paul's writings in Romans 8. But doctrinally, he's referring to Israel. Jesus Christ is a shepherd. So he says, feed my lambs. Feed the young Jewish people. And then in Galatians 2:9, there was a meeting between Peter, James, and John. And Paul and Barnabas at that time, they hadn't had the falling out yet. And so they concluded in Galatians 2:9, okay, you two, you go to the uncircumcised, you go to the Gentiles, that's Paul and Barnabas, and we will go to the circumcised, we're going to keep going to the Jews. So James, like the epistle of James, the 2 epistles of Peter, and the 3 by John, we have to keep that in mind that first and foremost, they were writing to Jewish people, and then you and I might be able to pick up something out of that, but we keep it in mind, they're writing about the last days. for the Jewish people during the tribulation time period. And that began in Hebrews. That's if we look at the Bible doctrinally. Okay? It's so important that we look at the Bible doctrinally and instructionally. Okay? Most people just look at the Bible instructionally, devotionally, spiritually, what I get out of it. Okay? Because that's the way we are. Okay? But what about if we look at it through God's eyes doctrinally? And we might pick up on some other things that we wouldn't normally. Especially when you read through the Psalms. We need to read through the Psalms. Man, there's so much in there about the second coming. So the way he is to demonstrate his love to Jesus is to feed people the Word of God. Okay, that's what he's talking about. Feeding them the Word of God. Okay, then, so he one time down, second time around, he saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. Okay, so feed the older ones. So, got that one. And then a third time. And Pete's probably, you know, if he's barefoot, you know, maybe in the ship, and he's got his rubbing his 3 feet through the sand, you know, earthing with the sand. Okay, he's probably digging a hole in the sand about now because his conscience is just tearing him up. And in verse 17, he saith to him, the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Pete was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. And okay, that was it. That's the end of it. Jesus never brought it up again. Okay, he got that taken care of. And then let's see what this man writes about later on in life. If you would try 1 Peter 4, verse 8. Now, there's some things in the Bible that are universal, so they cross over time. So this is a man that denied Jesus Christ that night of the crucifixion or the mock trial and everything. And so now he's confessed them 3 times. 1 Peter 4:8, and here's what he writes. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity covereth the multitude of sins. Okay, the Lord never brought it up again. And so he confessed it, so the Lord's charity covereth them sins. Then if you would go to the next chapter, chapter 5. Okay, and so this is the way that a teacher of the Bible demonstrates his love for the Lord is to feed the sheep. Okay, 1 Peter 5:1, the elders. Okay, the elders which are among you, I exhort, and am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for a filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage. That's what a Gentile's temptation is to do. But being in samples to the flock, not examples. The Bible is so precise. And in sample is a small version, a small sample of what is to be demonstrated. An example is you're following that example. Where he's telling them, you be a sample of what you want your people to be. Okay, and then he says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So then, let's try Acts 20, verse 28. This is Paul's farewell address to the church of Ephesus. He'd been in the area for a little while. He's taken off. He gave them some final warnings, just like Moses gave some final warnings to Israel before he died. And so Paul has given his final address to the church of Ephesus. You'll see that in Acts 20, verse 17. So then he says in verse 28, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. So how do we feed them? Go to the preceding verses, verse 27. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Not just the fundamentals. Not just the cross. Okay, he said in 1 Corinthians that to the baby Christians, I've declared unto you nothing but save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's for the beginners, but for the church family, all the counsel of God. And that's a bunch. Eternal understanding, infinite understanding the Lord has. And so this is why a Bible believer has unlimited material in the Bible. And so we can go from cover to cover. Oh, Brother Ray? Acts 20, 28. Hopefully I said that. 28. Okay, and so there's that. Now, if you would, if you're in Acts 20, jump over to 24:14. Now, if you declare to the best of your ability all the counsel of God, you believing all of the words, but then you rightly divide the words and separate from the universal ideas to the time-sensitive ideas and things like that. Acts 24, verse 14, there's a fundamentalist group, in this context would be Judaism. They will say that Paul is a heretic. So in verse 14, but this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, that's those religious Jews, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets. So he believes it all. We believe it all, but we rightly divide too and recognize there are different commands for different people at different times. And when we do that properly, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, the Lord in heaven is very, it's a blessing to the Lord when we rightly divide his scriptures. It's a blessing to him. Okay, so then 17:18, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. So he's talking about his older age. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. Historians say that Simon Peter was crucified upside down. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what historians say. So in verse 19, and when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following. That's John, the writer. Okay, and why is it that in human nature, we always want to find out what somebody else is going to be doing? I guess it's just human nature. You know, you got your orders. Don't worry about somebody else's. Take your orders and move forward. Well, what am I doing now? Don't worry about it. Okay, but in this case, the Lord responds. He said, which also leaned on his breast at supper. So that, again, that's another testimony for John. And said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Okay, he's the one that Jesus whispered it to. And then Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Okay, so remember, earlier they were debating about who's going to be the greatest amongst them, and the only criteria you could use for that is numbers. You can't use spirituality. How do you measure spirituality? And so this is human nature. There are no new thing under the sun. People still do that today and everything. And so he is going to answer his question, and then, but if we follow the wording very precisely and recognize that a lot of times we don't pay attention to what people say. And when we don't pay attention to the words, then we get ourselves in trouble. So in verse 22, Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. Notice he said if. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren that that disciple should not die. See, a rumor started because somebody didn't pay attention. And that's often what people do. So then he says that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto them, he shall not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? So I repeated that. Now what is interesting about this idea is that John was given the book of Revelation. He actually witnessed it. So he witnessed the second coming of Christ. And then he got to write about it. So, but yet he did die, obviously, and he was exiled to a place called Patmos. And historians say that they dunked him in a pot of oil and scarred his body. And so then after that, he survived it. And after that, then they shipped him to this isle called Patmos, which is in the Mediterranean Sea. And that's when the Lord gave him the vision of Revelation. So, verse 24, this is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. So, he wrote John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and then Revelation. So, he's got five, you know, three epistles, one gospel, and the apocalypse. Okay, then the closing passage, it says, and there are also many other things which Jesus did. So John is just selecting here, there, the which, if they should be written, everyone, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen and amen. And I wonder if there's going to be a big library in heaven. There are books, there will be books that gives our records. If there be a great big huge library that you can go in the archive and read what Jesus did when he was 12, when he was 30, on this day, what he did on this day, on that day, and just kind of enjoy the great details of the Lord's ministry. I mean, the Bible just picks up one little thing here, one here, one here, skips several months. What's he doing during all that stuff? Can you imagine the number of people that he healed that the Bible doesn't record? And this shows how fickle people can be. All those people that he healed, why didn't they show up and defend him at the crucifixion? That's how people are. In one minute, they'll say it about that baseball player, he's a god, he's a god. Then two strikeouts, he's a bum, throw him out. And so, yeah, that's the Lord. And so we just got to recognize that and do what we do for the Lord. So verse 25, I just can't imagine all that's written down. And I hope it's written down. It probably will be written down. We get to read it. It's going to be a great blessing. Okay, hey, we got done with John 21. Any suggestions for another one, next one, let me know. Any questions or comments at this stage, Brother Paul?